harvest, the fields are white, and there's so much work to do. And it's so easy for me to pray that the Lord will burden you. But this time when I kneel to pray, Lord, make this burden mine. Let me see past my selfishness and let my will be thine. Here am I, Lord, send me to share your precious word. Here am I, Lord, send me to those who've never heard. Let me lift my eyes and see, O world that's dying without thee. Here am I, O Lord, send me. It's so easy to live my life thinking only of today. Far too busy to notice those that I pass along the way. But help me to see every man as a soul for which you died. Let me see eternity and reach them while there's time. Here am I, Lord, send me to share your precious word. Here am I, Lord, send me to those who've never heard. Let me lift my eyes and see, O world that's dying without thee. Here am I, O Lord, send me. Here am I, send me.
Good to go. Knew that one there. Get this thing squared away. If I tangle with it now, I don't have to worry about it later. All right, if you'd quickly turn with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. We have thoroughly enjoyed being with you here at Bible Baptist in Beeville. Thank you for your kindness. This is a very, I love little churches. I grew up in a church even smaller than this. Definitely not this beautiful of woodwork in Roseburg, Oregon. But I love little churches. I love the spirit. I love the faithfulness. And I do appreciate the faithfulness of the committed people here. The reason my father-in-law, Brother James Hoffmeister, has been able to do all that he did in Trinidad, the churches they've started, the works they've helped start in South America, the Bible college right now that's already reaching 40 to 50 young people a semester. I say young people. They've got old preachers going through that thing. They've got new preachers going through that, girls, boys. But they were able to do that because of faithful people here in the States, and that really makes a difference for them, and it makes a difference for us. We're very appreciative. Genesis chapter 5. Thank you also for having a prophet chamber where missionaries can come and rest, and it's quiet, and it's away from people, and it's cool. Praise the Lord for a cool place during this time. My wife and I have slept in a lot of places. I tell people we're homeless. So far, we've been married 2 years, and I don't think we've spent longer than 2 months in a place. So to have a beautiful, clean, kept place, we appreciate that. I don't know who cleans it, but I salute you, and I say thank you. You hopefully will get some unrecognized crowns in heaven, and you deserve it. But Genesis chapter 5, When I was, I had a different sermon planned for this evening. I think I mentioned it this morning. I really wanted to preach on discipleship. Because I love the idea of public ministry, because I think as Christians, we're called to be leaders. We're called, you leading someone else to Christ. And as Christians, we're not supposed to hide our lamp. We're supposed to let our light so shine before men. And part of the reason in America that we're doing how we are today is because a whole bunch of people who aren't Christians have stood up and let their opinions and their voice be heard. And there's still enough Christians in America that if we started roaring just a little bit, if we stood up a little bit, I truly think we could make a difference. But there's always been a fight publicly between Satan and God's people. But I really got to thinking, and you know, I realized something about God. I realized that our God is a jealous God. And what I mean by that is I just got back from a trip to Guyana. And if I keep moving around, is that going to cause a lot of issues with people watching? You don't care. Okay, I'm a walker. I just got back from a trip from Guyana, and God really opened some doors. We got to, long story short, there was something to get into Guyana you have to be sponsored in. And that's a process that if we wanted to get our own sponsorship would take a year and like $1,200 to $2,000. A week before I took the trip, a missionary calls me up and said, "Hey, I have a sponsorship that we don't use anymore. We're citizens. Do you want it?" I'm like, "Excuse me? Let me clean my ear out here. What did you say?" And he's like, "Well, we have a business and we've been praying about it. We don't have it. We're not using it. Do you want it?" And I, of course, started getting my hopes up. And he's like, "Well, now don't get your hopes up. This is a third world country and it can take a year and a half and it can take a ridiculous amount of time to get paperwork together." I still got my hopes up. And we started praying. And somehow in a week's time, they got the paperwork ready to go. We signed it off. We were able to get that for like just under $600 in a week's time. And it was a huge answer to prayer. So from the very beginning, we'll be able to sponsor ourselves in. But one thing I was thinking with when I took that trip, that was our first time for Ariana and I to be separated for more than a week. And when I got to Guyana, there's always culture shock when you go to a third world country, especially coming from what is America. And when we got there, the night before, I flew through Miami. To get to Guyana, you have to take a trip from Austin to Miami, and usually you overnight in Miami. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to save some money. I'm just going to sleep in the airport. I'm like, I'll have my wife with me, it won't be a big issue. Two issues with Miami Airport. Number one, every single one of their chairs has a metal divider and it doesn't move. The second thing is they have an army of vacuum ladies that will go to every single corner of that airport, and it seems like she had my number. Every time I'd get to a dark corner, there would be another lady with a vacuum. I didn't get much sleep, but we got into Guyana Saturday night. I was supposed to preach the next day, and I was pretty burdened because anytime you're trying to translate from America thought process to a third world, there's just a lot that goes into it. I was really burdened about getting up and preaching, and I remember opening up my Bible, and my wife had put a note in there, a really nice letter, smelled real good, some encouraging things that she'd written, and it meant a lot. And then I went to open my sock bag, and there was a little note from my wife in my sock bag as well, and it smelled good too. And I went over there to another part of my suitcase. I think I was going through my ties, and there was another note there, and it says, like, be strong and have a good courage, or just all sorts of little things in there. And you know what my wife was saying? "Hey, you're going to be in Guyana, but don't forget about me." There was another note, I think, in my shirt, my undershirt little zipper thing, and it said, "This is the last time you go to Guyana without me." And I realized what my wife was saying. "Hey, you're over there, but don't forget about me." She put her perfume on there. "Hey, you're going to be over there, but hey, remember what I smell like. You know, you might be over there, but I'm thinking about you, and I want you thinking about me." Well, there's a God in heaven who's just that jealous. Man, he wants you. He's hungry for you. He wants to have a relationship with you. When he sees you out in the world, when he sees you away from him, man, he wants to have you back. Jealousy isn't a bad thing. Envy, that's a bad thing. That's when you see a guy's Ram, four-door, Dodge pickup, 2,500 horsepower. Like, man, I could use one of those for the ministry. The ministry. that's called envy, and that's bad. But jealousy is simply wanting something that's already yours. And I really got to thinking, and the greatest need America has is for some Christians to really get back to what Christian originally meant. And there's a time in the Bible when you said Christian, there were folk first called Christian Antioch, it meant something. It stood for something. There was a sacrifice there was a stand that had to be took. But I began thinking, you know what we really need in America more than ever is some closet Christians. Some closet Christians. Because the people who really shook the world when D.L. Moody was preaching and Billy Sunday, we see great preachers like D.L. Moody, and I love reading about D.L. Moody, man. They said, people would say that the Holy Spirit would set him on fire and people would just come to watch him burn. And sometimes we look at D.L. Moody and we don't realize that every time he got to preach in those great revival services, underneath the pulpit there'd be 5, 20, 25, at the bigger revivals, 100 and 125, 150 men praying that God would use D.L. Moody. And I was thinking, you know what? The Bible says a lot about a man named Daniel. And I think the reason his public ministry was so strong is because he was a closet Christian. And we hear about people like Joseph who went through incredible things. I think the reason that Joseph was able to have such a public ministry in the palace there was because, you know what? Joseph was a man who walked with God. He had a closet ministry before God. And I thought, you know what? Our public ministry is never going to be stronger than our closet ministry before God. But if you're there in Genesis chapter 5, I need you guys to do something for me, okay? Man, it's a Sunday afternoon. It's hot. Most of you probably had fantastic Mother's Day meals. I need you to rewind your brain, okay? This is Genesis. This is only the 5th chapter in Genesis, okay? A mind-blowing amount has happened in 1st Genesis. Or in 1st Genesis. I don't know if there's a second one. But I guess there will be eventually. But Genesis chapter 1, we talk about Jesus Christ. God is speaking the world into his existence. Genesis chapter 2, he literally makes man out of the clay. Genesis chapter 3 talks about the fall of man. Genesis chapter 4 is incredible. It talks about Seth. And Genesis chapter 5... it's kind of a letdown. It's kind of like, okay, why is Genesis 5 here? Genesis 5 is literally just a chapter full of genealogy. Have you ever been reading in 1st or 2nd Chronicles and they start to get the, and he begat, she begat, they begat, and you wake up 4 chapters later and realize you didn't get anything, and you're not going back to get it either. You're going to keep on going. That's what Genesis chapter 5 is. God is simply saying, hey, I need to get from the incredible creation and fall of man to Noah. And Noah is literally in the next chapter. He says, but between then, I just need to talk about the godly line of Seth real quick. I just need to do some lexicon work. I just need to do some historical work. We're going to write this down real quick. We're going somewhere. He says, I'm really not going to talk about these men in detail. This was a time when dinosaurs walked the earth. Look in verse 6 of Genesis 5, verse 6. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. How would you like to be 105 in the first time you're a dad? And Seth lived after begat Enos. How long? 807 years and begat sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. Next verse, and Enos lived 90 years. He's just working his way through. Do you realize in 3 verses we just covered 800 years of history and you didn't even blink? I wish my history teacher had done that. You could have covered the Dark Ages, Catholic and bad, and moved on. We could have been in the Renaissance period. He's literally just covered massive amounts of history going somewhere. It's interesting, though, as he works through the passage here, he talks about Adam and doesn't say anything about him. He talks about Seth, just keeps going. Enos keeps going. It's interesting that when he gets to one man's story, he has to stop. And he says, you know what? I'm going somewhere. I'm not really talking about these men. But this guy, I just got to say something about him. Look at verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch, of all the things that God could say about Enoch, Enoch lived 365 years. Anybody in here? 300? Not quite? I've always wondered if God could write a verse of the Bible about Robert. I still haven't found Robert in the Bible anywhere, except for why you rob me of my tithes. It's the only place I can find Rob. Enoch gets 5 verses here. I think in the entire Bible he gets 5 verses. What would God write about you in those 5 verses? But God simply says this of Enoch, and Enoch walked with God. And Enoch walked with God. You know what Enoch did? He walked with God. More than that, he was known for walking with God. You know what God said in Hebrew? He said, Enoch had this one thing. He pleased God. You see, if you were to talk to Enoch's wife during Mother's Day or on her birthday and said, hey, tell us about this man named Enoch, you know, your husband. Who's the real man behind the veneer? Who's the man at home? You know what Enoch's wife would have told you? She would have said, you know what? My husband's not perfect. But my husband, he walks with God. If you were to talk to Enoch's kids, they would say, you know what? Our dad occasionally loses his temper, and you know what? He has his flaws. But one thing we can tell you about our dad, he's a man who walks with God. If you would have gone out into the community and said, hey, who do you know this Enoch to be? They say, you know what, we don't know much about that man Enoch, but there's something different about that man Enoch. There's a different spirit about him, man. He just walks with God. I don't even know God too much, but he lets his influence. Enoch's just got a different spirit. If you were to go to Enoch's tombstone, and there's not one, we'll get to why in a second, but if you were to go to Enoch's tombstone and they were to write something, one thing about Enoch's life, you know what they would have said about Enoch? They would have said he was a man who walked with God. See, for him it wasn't an option, it wasn't a consideration, it wasn't a maybe. He said, you know what, if nothing else happened my day, my walk with God is going to come first. He said it was going to be a priority. It was going to be a commitment. It was a stance of leadership. He said, if anything else happens my day, I'm going to make sure that nothing gets between me and my walk with God. A quick question tonight. Does your walk with God define your life, or does your life define your walk with God? When things get busy, which goes first? Number one, Enoch walked with God. Well, that's a pretty incredible statement. I think the second part to me is what kind of really sets the tone. We'll spend a little bit longer on the second point. Number one, Enoch walked with God. You know what I love about the fact that it didn't say Enoch prayed? You know, never one time in the Bible did it say Enoch prayed to God. I love the fact that it said Enoch what? Walked. Babe, can I use you as illustration? I tried to avoid using her too much because I will wear her out how many churches we're in. But tonight I feel like it's going to be less awkward than if I pick somebody else's wife. People go to college, even Bible college, for a lot of different reasons. Some go for an education. Some go to get away from mom and dad. Some go to party. Some go to find a pretty girl. Some people go for a whole bunch of different reasons. I went for, I think, a myriad of those reasons. I wanted God to use me. I wanted to get an education. And to hope to find a pretty girl. But at college, you have something called courtship, dating, pursuing, whatever you want to call it. And there was a time when a guy saw a pretty girl. It was pretty quick. He could tell it pretty quick. I mean, he didn't have to think about it. I'm like, is she pretty? Is she not? Now, guys have like this inner radar that can tell, woo-hoo-hoo, she's a pretty girl. And guys have like this radar. If they're in a room with a girl they like, they can tell at all times where that girl is. And at college, a guy would see a pretty girl like, whoo, she's pretty. It wasn't a lot of brain cells going on in there, just a very simple thought, you know, I want to get to know her. And he is going to do everything possible to get to know her. He's going to try to figure out what hallway she takes at college. He's going to figure out what classes she's in. He's going to figure out if at all possible he's going to sit by her in those classes. He's going to figure out where does she work, what's her likes, what's her dislikes. A hey in the morning and a bye at night isn't going to be enough. He's going to figure out whatever possible, whatever it takes, he's going to make the time to where he can walk alongside her and get to know her. The only problem with that relationship is sometimes that relationship is only in the guy's head. And I've helped a couple guys come to realize that when a girl came to me and said, hey, can you get this guy off my case? And he's stalking me. And I asked a girl one time, okay, what's the difference between somebody who's passionately pursuing you and a stalker? And she thought about it. And she said, well, I guess whether I liked him or not. So girls, give us a break here, okay? We're trying our best. But some guys, they would ask her, like, hey, could I sit by you? And she would say, well, I've got a friend coming, and hey, can I take you out for coffee after? Well, I've got work to do, and she would do whatever it took to avoid him, and he was chasing, but man, she wasn't having anything of it, and it's okay to be a chase. A guy should be chasing the girl. Nowadays, you have girls chasing guys, and girls chasing all sorts of stuff nowadays, but originally, it was supposed to be the guy who took the first step and made some effort and wooed her and paid for the meal and had some chivalry and got her door, but sometimes the girl's not having anything of it, and man, he's pursuing, but she is running. But the day that she stops running, and I'd love to tell you from the very first, I swept Ariana off her feet, and she was madly in love with me, and in my mind she was. But there was some pursuit, and there was a lot of time invested, and I didn't realize how much money was involved. It was worth it, but there was a lot invested in that pursuit. But the time that girl stops running, turns around and says, you know what? Sure, you can sit by me and thank you for the flowers and I'd love to grab coffee with you and I like you too. And maybe when that big world comes, I love you too. The day that she stops running, the day that she turns back, that's when it becomes a relationship. Do you know you have a God in heaven who's pursuing you? I love what A.W. Tozer, there's a book, and on the front of it, it says Pursuit of God. And it talks about how we should be pursuing a relationship with God. But on the back of that book, It says God is in pursuit of you. You have a jealous God in heaven. You know what he did? He woke up this morning and he said, you know what? Would you walk with me? Hey, would you spend some time with me? You know one thing I loved about I love about the fact that it says he walked with God? You know what that means? That means on Sunday morning, after he got home from church, you know what good old Enoch was doing? He was still talking to God. You know on Monday when there's no church to be seen, you know what he was doing? He was walking with God. You know on Tuesday when he was going to work, you know what Enoch was doing? He was communicating with God. You know on Thursday and on Friday, a lot of times we have a Sunday Christianity. And I'll get to that in a second. Thank you, babe. Could you stay alert? Because I might grab you again in a second. I'll pair good. In Trinidad, they have something called, they have a coffee shop. And some brilliant Indian guy came up with an idea because he saw Starbucks in America and how popular it was and how much money us Americans will throw on it. I might be guilty of that as well. He thought, man, what if I bring that over to Guyana or Trinidad but change the name? And he said, and he and his board of people got together and they started thinking, what could we name our thing? Okay, we can't do a runoff of Starbucks. It needs to be our own unique brand because Trinidadians have their own, a little bit of their own national pride. And they got together and they came up with a brilliant name and they named it Rituals. Because they thought, you know what? We want it to be a ritual. And part of the Hindu faith, a lot of rituals that go on. And they say, you know what? When you're on your way to work, we don't want you to think about it. Because that's what a ritual is. It's a habitual thing done without thought. When you're on your way to work, we just want you to stop in real quick, grab a $5, $6, $7, $8 coffee. Don't think about how much the donut is. Don't think about how much the extra shot of espresso is. Just come pick it up and go to work. On your way back from work, man, you're tired. You had an exhausting day. Just come in real quick, grab a coffee. Hey, when you're on the way to your funeral, and man, you need to pick me up. You just, you know, buy one for yourself. Buy one for the whole family. Hey, you're on your way to a wedding, man, party, celebrate. Come and grab some coffee. Hey, it's time to study for school. Come and grab some coffee. You're on your way to a birthday. Grab one for everybody. They want it to be a something that you didn't think about how much money you were spending that week, that month. Just come in and grab a coffee. And it took off. There is a ritual on every street. There's one in the Capitol. There's one in the airport. They're everywhere. But I can't but wonder if our walk with God, man, we've been in church our entire life. We've been in church for forever. And we get there on Sunday, we punch in, we punch out. And even in the morning, we know that we want God with us. Hindus do too. So when they get up, they'll go before the little thing, they'll wash their little idols, and they'll pray to the one that they think will most answer in that day. And then they'll forget about them until the next morning. They get up and say their ritual and go their day. I think we need some Christians in America who start knocking down that ritual and get back to building a relationship. Because number one, Enoch walked with God. But number two, and I've only got 3 points, and here's the awesome part. It was nothing special that Robert wanted to chase Ariana. Woo! She was pretty. She was godly. She traveled the world. She was already a missionary. She was passionate about people. She was gorgeous. Man, there's no wonder that Rob wanted to walk with Ariana. Number one, Enoch walked with God. But number two, God walked with Enoch. The amazing thing is that God Almighty up above walked with Enoch. And you know what I think happened? I think for God to walk with Enoch, something had to happen in Enoch's life. I think God wants to walk with everybody, but I don't think God just puts his presence on everybody. There's an interesting passage in Leviticus. There's a lot of interesting passages in Leviticus if you've read through it. I'm so thankful we're under no law, we're under a moral law, but I'm so thankful we're not under any of the ceremonial or the priestly laws. Man, they got some weird stuff in the Old Testament. In one of the chapters, when the children of Israel are going from the promised land, they're coming from Egypt to the promised land, they would literally set up tents, and they would be a moving caravan headed to the promised land. During one of those chapters, this is in the Bible, you can find it after, I promise you. In Leviticus, God was giving orders for how to live in the camp. And back then, they didn't have a washroom. They didn't have a running water like you think of today. They didn't have a restroom. So to be as polite as possible, God said, hey, when you got to do your stuff, go outside the camp, dig your hole, if you've ever watched Up, dig your hole, take care of your business, then come back in the camp. But the very next verse is what's interesting. He says, for I will walk among you. You know what he was saying? He was saying, hey, I want to walk with you. I want to be with you. I want to be part of every aspect of your life. I want to be with your marriage. I want to be with your family. I want to do all that, but I don't want to walk in your stuff. You know what Enoch had to decide? He said, God, I want you in my life on Monday. As I'm raising my kids, I want you there with me, my relationship with God. I want you there. He said, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to have you in my life on Monday and have you in my life on Tuesday and Wednesday. I don't just want you to be a Sunday thing, man. I want your power throughout the week. And if Christians in America could get back to getting God with God on a daily basis and say, God, whatever, if there's something that's playing on the radio that displeases you, I'm going to turn off. Why? Because I want you sitting in that car with me. When I go to work, man, I want you there. I want you blessing me. I want you blessing what I do. I want you to bless my work. I'm willing to do whatever it takes not to have certain conversations, not to get around certain people. God, I want you with me at work. When I get home and I'm frustrated, I'm mad at my wife and I'm mad at the world and everything, even then, God, I want you with my tongue. I want you with my relationship with my wife. God, Enoch was willing to clean up anything in his life so that God could walk alongside him. You know what we need in America? We need some dads who will be the door to the home again. We need some dads who will be a strength. You know what a husband means? It literally means a house bander, somebody who keeps the house together. Right now, more than ever, Satan wants to destroy what a home is. And in some countries, he's effectively done that. In America, he's done it to a certain extent, but not completely. There's still some good homes in America. We need some dads who will be a door to the home. You know what a door does in Guyana? Praise the Lord. It keeps some weird stuff out of the house. We were going back to one of the villages, and it was all sandy. And when we were going out visiting a couple of the members who hadn't been able to make it, we got to this one house, and it was up on stilts. And all around the outside of that house was big jaguar prints. And you could see it had walked all the way around the thing. Praise the Lord for doors. You know what doors do? Doors keep some stuff out. We need some dads who will stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to decide what comes in this home, and I'm going to decide what gets out of this home. I'm going to make sure that Satan can't get past that door, that there's certain music that can't come in my home, that there's certain influences that can't come. We need some dads who have some strength. Praise the Lord for moms in America who have been godly. But man, we need some dads who will stand up again. God has always used men to lead his church and his home. We need some dads who will stand up again. But praise the Lord for a door, because it doesn't just keep certain things out. What does it also do? It lets some stuff in. Ooh, like food. Praise the Lord. Like blankets if you're cold, or ACs if you're hot, or provision. Or there's a lot of things a door does, but it lets some stuff in. And we need some dads who say, you know what? I'm going to make sure there are certain things in my home. I'm going to bring some good music back in my home. I'm going to bring some godly influences in my home. When was the last time you had pastor over to your home and said, hey, we didn't have you for anything special. We just want you to come hang out with our family. Come influence our kids. We need some dads who say, I'm going to determine the spiritual temperature of my home. But here's the awesome thing about a door, and why we need women so much. And I hope you won't take this wrong. We need some ladies who'll be a hinge on that door. I don't care if you have the strongest door in the world made out of the toughest adamantium. I don't know what the coolest metal out there is. Tungsten or diamond. You can have the strongest door. And if you take off those hinges, you take off the support, you know how easy it is to knock that door over? Two fingers. Ladies, you have the ability to build your man up like never before, and you have the ability to tear your down your man like never before. Ladies, you know more than anybody the real us. That woman right there, if you want to find out about the real me, you talk to her. You guys know when we're hypocrites. You know when we say one thing in church and do another thing at home. You know when we've said we're going to do something, we don't do it. So be patient with us. If your man shows one step in the right direction, one inkling of one does something, cheer him on, be his cheerleader. Forget what he's done before, but get behind him. Because it's amazing what a guy can do with a cheerleader in his corner, with somebody praying for him, with somebody helping her. Because I tell you what, more than ever, we need some homes that are strong. It takes a strong lady and a strong man. You get those two together, you want a strong America, it takes both those. We're getting to the third point. Are you still there in Genesis? You guys have listened great. Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch, I love it, it says it again, once was enough. And Enoch what? Walked with God. And I love this second part. And he was what? Not. Someone once said, if you have no joy, it's because there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. Billy Sunday once said, one reason that sin flourishes is because we treat it like a cream puff instead of like a rattlesnake. Listen, I'm against sin. I'll kick it as long as I have a foot. I'll fight it as long as I have a fist. I'll butt it as long as I have a head. I'll bite it as long as I got a tooth. And when I'm old, fistless, footless, and toothless, I'll gum it till I go home to heaven. And it goes on to perdition. We need some dads. We need some moms who say, you know what? We're going to retake a look at our home, and we're going to get out anything that's called sin, anything that we feel like is taking our family away from God, anything that we feel like that's hindering God's presence from coming back into our home. We desperately need some homes who are consecrated back to God. We need some dads who say, you know what? We're going to put the altar back in our home. We're going to put good Christian music back in our home. We're going to get good preaching back in our home. The reason our homes are weak is because they lack God's presence. Number one, Enoch walked with God. Number two, God walked with Enoch. Here's what's interesting. Revival, if we want a revival in America, revival isn't a prayer. Revival isn't a place. It's not a service. Revival is a person, Jesus Christ. And the closer we get to him, the more new life we have. Sure, we get saved, but man, that old flesh loves to hang on. If you want to be on fire, someone once said, get close to the flames. We're going to use one last illustration. Number one, Enoch walked with God. Number two, God walked with Enoch. But number three, Enoch was not. When I was a kid, I was like, what on earth is going on in this chapter? It kind of blew my mind when I first kind of understood it. So Enoch was just walking one day, and the Bible says in Hebrews that he was what? Translated, okay? So to translate, it means to take something from one orientation to another, like English. If you were to translate English into Chinese, you'd have to have somebody in the middle say, you know what, I'm going to take it from English and I'm going to translate it into what? Chinese. So one day Enoch was walking out there with God, like he did every day, and God translated him from earthly to heavenly like that. Man, I hope that's my translation. I hope the rapture comes back before I die some gruesome way or something, or at least go to sleep, maybe wake up one day. But he was literally translated. I'm going to need somebody's help real quick. You're not busy, are you? Can you come and help me? Perfect. If you could just come stand right here. We're going to call you Soul. What was your name?
Ben.
No, Soul. We're going to call you Soul. Perfect. No, it's okay. I'm going to. He's going to college, so I got to test him. You know, I got to see how well that education is working. So what's your name?
Soul.
There we go. What's his name? Perfect. The Bible says that you have something inside you called a soul. That's the real you. If you were to walk up to a casket and you were to slap that corpse, I don't recommend you doing that. If you were to do that, what would happen? Besides the congregation killing you, nothing's going to happen. That person's dead, okay? The soul is the real you. When you came in today, some of y'all look sleepy. Some of y'all look like you had caffeine this afternoon. Some of y'all look a little burdened. Some of y'all look out of focus. There's a lot of different things. When I looked inside your eyes, you know what I saw? I saw the real you, the soul. The soul is the seat of your emotions. It's your decision maker. It's the real you. It's the person that decided to come to church tonight. It's the person that on a Mother's Day, when you could have been spending time with your mother, you could be doing anything else, you said, you know what? I want to be in God's house. That's your soul. The Bible says that when we get saved, I can't use you for this one. Can I use Megan, right? Okay. That's the only name I remembered, so I figured go safe. Could you come stand over here? We're going to move this. We're going to call you Spirit, okay? What's your name? What's his name? Good. What's your name again? Oh, she's on it. She's like, you know, I memorized this stuff. We're good to go. The Spirit, the Bible says when you get saved, you become a new creature. The Bible says, behold, all things have passed away. All things are made new. He said, the old man is now dead. And he says he quickens your spirit. Little s, this is the you inside you that God makes a new creature. And this is the you that he seals into the day of redemption. This is the you that is put in God's hand. It can't be plucked out. Woo! Eternally sealed and ready to go to heaven. Could you turn this way and face that way? Perfect, okay? What was your name? What's his name? What's her name?
Spirit.
What's their name? Okay, perfect. Good. Just make it you're paying attention. The Spirit wants to do right. It's something in you, the Bible says, that speaks to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to man's spirit, and he teaches us of the things of God. He teaches us what we've heard from pastor. He reminds us of Scripture. The Bible calls him the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. He's leading us to become more like Christ. Are y'all okay here? Okay, perfect. If you turn your Bibles real quickly, this is the last passage we'll go to 2 Corinthians 3:17. The Bible says, now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, change into his image. The Bible says, Romans 12:12, and be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm getting somewhere with all this. You say, how does this relate to Enoch? Hang on a second, okay? What was your name one more time? What's her name? Okay, the Spirit, the Bible says he wants to use our spirit. When we behold the face of the Lord, when we meditate on the things of God, when we get before God and revel in his glory, when we learn about who the character of God is and how he made us and our relationship with him, when we spend that time with God, you know what he's doing? He is making us into his image. So you're heading that way, and you're kind of pulling us this way. Here's the problem. This isn't all that's going on in there. And the problem is, when you get saved, whew, you get all of God. You really do. I mean, whew, if we could spell out all that it means to be a child of God, when you got saved, that was the tip of an iceberg of what God has for us in heaven, what God wants to do with us on this earth. It was the beginning. It was the birth certificate on the greatest thing that ever happened in your life. It was something that was completely paid for, and heaven is going to be so much more incredible even than the experience of being a child of God down here. But we get all of God, but he doesn't get all of you. And that's because we have somebody else called the flesh. Sam, are you busy? You look like you're busy, but I'm still going to call you up here. Could you come help me? I appreciate it. And maybe I should have used his older brother for this one. Because the flesh is strong. You know what? We're going to switch you guys out. Could you be the soul? You're going to come over here.
Okay.
His name has been changed 3 times in 1 day, but that's okay. What's your name now?
Flesh.
The flesh. He's on top of it, okay? I recently got to preach a message similar to this from a different passage in a Spanish church. And their name for this, speaking through an interpreter, is carne. Have you ever had carne asada? It literally means meat. That's a translation, okay? So he is meat. What's your name?
It's now meat.
We're going to go with flesh, but that's all right. No, that's okay. Sam, what's your name? Oh, good. He was paying attention. What's his name? And what's your name? All right, everybody give him a finger clap. That was incredible. So we have the flesh over here, and here's kind of the picture of what's going on. Sometimes I think the Apostle Paul was American. Because the Bible says in Romans, he said, you know what? I want to do the things that are right. But he says, I find within myself that I do the things that are wrong. And he says, when I don't want to do the things that are wrong, I still find myself doing those things which are wrong. He said, I find within myself a warring in the members, a warring between the flesh and the spirit. If I were to listen to the flesh this morning, I would have got up about noon. I'd have gone down to Starbucks and grabbed a drink and gone back to bed. We've been busy. If I were to listen to the flesh, I wouldn't have come to Sunday night church. If I were to listen to the flesh, I wouldn't go soul winning. I sure wouldn't go to Guyana. I wouldn't give to Faith Promise Missions. I wouldn't give to tithe. I wouldn't do anything. If I were to listen to the flesh, I wouldn't walk with God. If I were to listen to the flesh. But here's what we do. We've got the spirit on one side, we've got the flesh. And man, can I turn you real quick, Sam? Pastor gets up and preaches a good Sunday morning message, and we get excited, and we say, you know what, I want to live for God, and I'm going to do right, and we start taking some steps for God, and then Monday smacks us upside the head, and man, there's that music at work, or maybe there's those certain influences, maybe there's those friends that are kind of Christians, but they're really out in the world, and we start going this way, then Wednesday comes, and man, Pastor really gets in God's Word, and he nails our feet to the floor with scripture. And we thought, you know what? I want to have a relationship with God that's right now. I want God to bless me. I want God to bless my family. And I need to straighten up some things in my marriage. And I need to be a better dad. And man, we turn around and say, you know what? I'm going to go for God again. I'm going to read my Bible every single day. And I'm going to pray. Man, sometimes we get a kick in our step. We're going. And then Thursday, the second Monday happens. And man, you know what? There's that TV series that, you know, it doesn't really quite honor God. And he does take Christ's name in vain. But man, the first one was good and it wasn't as dirty. But the second one can't be that bad. And we want to watch that. And we have that Facebook video that we really shouldn't be watching. We got that music that we know doesn't quite please God. And then Sunday comes around, revival happens, and we say, we put that stuff on the altar, and we start going back the other way. And we spend our entire Christian life doing this right here. Do you know what's right here? Did you know there's some blessing right here? There really is. Being a child of God is awesome. It's amazing at the grace of God. But do you know what's over here? Victory. Whew, getting to see God do some pretty incredible things. Getting to see God use our influence. Getting to see us bless other people. Get to watch God channel what we do for God. You know what's over here? Over here is a marriage that doesn't just last 10 years or 15 years gates until the kids leave home and you want some of that $70 billion. And what happens over here is a lifetime of serving God together and of raising some right kids. And what happens over here is what God wants. And I love what the Apostle Paul says at the end of the chapter. He says, therefore, with the mind, I serve Christ. You know what he realized? That when he relied on the flesh, when he relied on the do I want to, when he relied on the him, this is what he chose every time. But when he decided with the mind to serve Christ, you knew who had to come? Come on, flesh. You're kind of attached to this soul thing here. Knew who had to come along? Okay, y'all can be saved real quick. I'm going to finish up. The incredible thing about walking with God, not just on Sunday and on Wednesday, but really getting back. Can I be honest? The world has robbed us of our quiet time. Has robbed me of my quiet time if I'm not careful. It's so easy for every waking moment of my day to be listening to a podcast, to be listening to music, to be doing this, to be busy this. From the moment I wake up and my phone's dinging and I got pastors calling me and I've got visas going on and what's going on in the news over here, and I need to hear what Ben Shapiro says about the wall over here, and I need to understand what's going on over here. And every single second of our day is spread abroad and conquering all these things and busy, and we got our wife and our kids in. And God gets, if he gets any, a sliver of our time. But if we want to be changed, if we want to see a difference in this world, it's going to take more than just something on Sunday. And this isn't a new concept. But if I could challenge us today to be still and know who is God and get back to maybe when you're going to work, turn off the radio. Even if you're listening to Christian music, turn it off and speak to God again. If we're not careful, we let this wall get between us and God. You know what I love about God? I just got to preach in Guyana. I preached on baby steps. You know, God is always only one step away. Did you know it doesn't matter what you've done, what you think you've done, how long you have or haven't walked with him? Did you know the God in heaven is one step away? He says, if you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. And the problem with that is when I draw nigh to God, I've just got my one little human step. I'm so thankful that God's steps is just a little bit bigger than mine. One last illustration. Can I use you again, Mr. Ben? I won't change your name this time, I promise. And I do appreciate your help. Number one, Enoch walked with God. Number two, God walked with Enoch. Number three, Enoch was not. When we spend time with God, you know who becomes second place? Rob. You know who was first place when I woke up this morning? Rob. You know who was first place when I woke up from my nap this afternoon? Rob. You know who's first place, like, I feel like the vast majority of my life? Rob. The only way that I could start putting Ariana's needs ahead of mine, I could put Guyana's needs ahead of mine, that I could put God's needs ahead of mine, if I spend some serious time with God. You know the only way I'm going to have a lifetime of a relationship with this young lady right here, that she's going to be able to put up with me? I have a grandparent. Both my grandparents have been married over 55 years. One of them been married 57, the other one, I think, 55. I don't know how they managed to put up with each other for that long, but that's incredible. They should deserve a plaque, a trophy. That's awesome. But you know what they learned real quick? They had to learn to forgive like God forgave them. And to watch them live godly for a lifetime. Whew, I want to get there. But I know the only way I can get there is one day at a time. As a kid, I loved mud puddles. I did. Any chance we got to go outside, we were out of that homeschool classroom as fast as we could get. And I would love to find a mud puddle. I'd love to take my rubber boots, and we would try to stomp every little bit of water out of that mud puddle that we could. And sometimes it only took one stomp, and it was out. Other times it took a bunch of stomping to get it out. But we could get it. I feel like walking with God is like that. When we walk with God a little bit, you know what happens? We get a little bit of resistance to this world. We get a little bit of ability to handle the pressures of this world. But Satan will come along with his rock. Maybe it's something stressful at work. Maybe it's COVID. Maybe it's another ridiculous thing in the news. Maybe Biden said something stupid again. And he'll take that rock into our little mud puddle, our little resistance, our little bit of faith, and he'll chunk it in there, and it'll just splash everything out. But when you walk with God day after day, and you make it a priority, and it's not just a prayer, but you're checking with him throughout the day. You're asking his wisdom on stuff. You're asking him to help you at work and at home. It's more like a pond. If you were to go to a pond, I don't care how big a rock you could pick up. Pick up the biggest rock you want, and you chunk it in that pond, you know what's going to happen? I would say nothing, but that's not true. You're going to get a splash, because us kids love to get a splash. We try to get the biggest splash. But it doesn't matter how much of a splash we got as kids, pretty quickly that water just calmed back out again. And, oh man, there was a splash. Satan knows how to put some splashes in our life. But real quick, it just gets calm again. So we're sitting here tonight. We got a choice. God gives us our life. This is your life, okay? I pick you because you have big, you look like you have strong hands. Can you really grab that? It's a nice pin. I'm going to need it back, okay?
I'll keep it.
My wife gave that to me. No, hold it good. We have our life. God gives it to us. And at some point, and he probably did this before, and he'll probably have to do it again, he comes to us and says, hey, I want to use you. No. I really have some plans I want to do for you. I want to influence some people. I want to build a work with you. No, you don't understand. I created you. I gave you the gift. The reason that you're good at computers, the reason you're good at this, the reason you're good with kids is because I gave you those talents and those gifts. And man, I want to use you. And I've got plans for you. And man, I can do exceeding abundantly above anything you think or ask. Your biggest plans for you are nothing, he says, if you just let me. Well, okay. You know the thing about the Holy Spirit? He's a gentleman. You know why it's so important for us to get apart and get quiet? It's because God's talking. It's just we're so busy, we're not listening. Because here's the question. How much can I fit? How much can God fit in a hand that's closed? I might. I could probably balance. I'm pretty good at Jenga. I might be able to balance one or two things on there. It's a pretty unstable thing. I think I could get a couple on there. I really can't get much. The Apostle Paul said, I die how often? Because every morning he woke up, he found the same struggle I did. I looked in that mirror, and Rob is still there and in charge. Can you open up that hand for me? Careful, because whatever he's tugging on, whether it's a stimulus check that you've already spent, or whether it's your time on Saturday, or whether it's helping out at church, or whether it's being a witness at work, or whether it's something with your kids or prayer time, careful, because he'll take what he asks for. But here's the question. Open up that hand for me. How much can God put in your hand, in your home, in your family? If you simply open up your hand and said, God, today I'm yours. Use me. I don't know if I have too much more in my pockets. I might, though. I'm a mission. I got everything in my pocket. I'm going to need that back, too. That's my gas money. If I had more stuff, I'd put it on there. Because there's no limit to what God can do through you. That little old boy, I feel like that little kid who came to God and said, you know what? I don't have a pizza. I don't have a steak. I don't have a filet mignon. I've got 3 fishes and 2 loaves of bread. Do whatever you want to with it. And God said, that's what I was looking for. He's like, I didn't want your ambition. I wanted your submission. 5,000 people. I guarantee there's a little boy in heaven, probably a man now, who's still talking about what God did with his little lunch. And I don't care what's in the hand. It doesn't matter. I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about work. What he wants is your heart. You know how that starts? Every day, getting back to walking with him. It's a simple thought. But if the Christians, the saved Christians in America, started doing this right here, whew, I think we would have a better public ministry. I think we'd have boldness to talk of Christ. I don't think we would be quiet when somebody starts blaspheming him or someone starts talking contrary to Scripture. I think we'd have some boldness inside. Why? Because we have a relationship with the God in heaven. He doesn't want to check in. He doesn't want to be your lucky rabbit's foot. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to be with you every part of your day. Could you put that down there? Thank you so much, Benjamin. I appreciate it. Let's pray, and I'll have the pastor come up here. Father, it's a simple message, God. And I know we need something so much more than this in our time. But God, I hope it's a challenge for me, Lord, this week to really get back to walking with you. Father, help anything in my life that you would have to clean out, God, so that you could have the relationship you need with me. Help me to take some time this week to be still, God, and to consecrate myself again so that you can use me. Lord, we know you want us to use us. Help us to be changed, Lord, not just convicted today. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.
Amen. That was good. That was good, Brother Robert. Amen. Walking with God. You guys heard it. I don't have to re-preach it, so y'all heard it. And a lot of good stuff in there. A lot of stuff that makes me think. And thank you guys for coming. Thank you guys for being here. What we'll do, we hadn't done this in a while, with, I don't know, the last couple of years. But in a couple weeks, we'll vote, and I need to bring up, because we've had several missionaries come through, and in a couple weeks, I'll get you guys a list of who's come through here, but for sure in a couple weeks, we'll go ahead and just do a vote on, like we used to do. And vote on Rob and Ariana, yes or no, see if we want to support them. And we'll do that in a couple weeks in the evening. So I think we ought to get back to it. We just hadn't done it in a while, and we've had several missionaries come through. And so we'll do that. And God bless you guys for being here. You guys have a safe trip back home. And I look forward to hearing what God's going to do with you guys. When you preach, I got to say, Rob, you remind me of your father-in-law. Yeah, you do. You really do. Yeah, they got the mannerisms and everything. I can tell you've been with them a lot. You've been hanging around them a lot. Yeah. Well, amen, amen. Let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you so much for what we've heard tonight. It's been really good, really well illustrated and well taught. And thank you for the encouragement, the correction, the instruction in righteousness. And I pray we'd apply it where it needs to be applied. That's so true. So true about you being one step away and really just draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. That's so true. Lord, I pray you'd help us in our personal lives with these things and that we'd be more influential and more at least give you an opportunity to work through us more in our community. And in the places we go and people we see. I thank you for each soul that's here. I do pray that you'd give Rob and Ariana a safe trip back to Austin this evening. And thank you for getting them down here safely. And I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.